Everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. And we're coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios and Dodd-Frank 2010. They can keep it. And gold is on a roll. So many reasons to call Noble Gold. In fact, actually, Andy Shechtman and Kiyosaki and all these other economists are saying, get a second job. That's how good this is going to be. Hey, you want to know more? All you got to do is call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Tell them Dave Hodges, the happy customer, told you to call. By the way, I got to say this, federal requirement. There are no guarantees and past performance can't be construed with future expectation. And I'll just say this. I have been a customer of Noble Gold for over 7 years, been an advertiser for eight. Okay. There's my endorsement. Hey, our guest back for part two is Michelle Melendez. And we're going to talk about something that I've been talking about off and on over the past few weeks. The future of everything is frequency. I think particularly medicine. Michelle, welcome back to the show. So glad you could join us. And this is one of my favorite topics because it gets into my favorite hobby, quantum physics.
Mahalo again so much for having me.
Same.
And
Thank you.
yeah, this topic is, well, this is what started. I've been a fitness and wellness trainer for 30 years since 1996, and I wrote the book End Dieting Hell. This is my first book. My second one was Great Maui Land Grab. This is my first one, End Dieting Hell: How to Find Peace in Your Body and Release the Weight. And it won four awards, and it's all on trauma, which is frequency that's stuck in the body. So I love this topic.
Yeah, it truly is. And let me put people at ease. This isn't new age woo-woo kind of stuff. I just want to give you a little mindset here, okay? You're really upset and a calming song comes on and you're listening to it, and all of a sudden, you don't feel so bad. You're okay. It's the frequency effect. And also too, people who are trained in critical incident intervention, they are trained how to speak clearly, directly, and forcefully, but in a calm, soothing voice. Same thing, changing the frequency of what people are hearing. This is something that I've known about for some time. In fact, one real quick anecdote, Jose Delgado, 1961, did an electronic bullfight. The bull comes charging. He has a remote control. He presses a lever. A frequency comes out. The bull calmly walks away. Okay, that was 1961. He went to work for the CIA 5 years later. So we know this is real science. So anyway, Michelle, where are we going to start with this fascinating topic?
I'd love to start with my beginnings of it because I was and am a weight loss specialist. And what happened was I was helping women, that's my main audience, and my main customers, lose weight, but they weren't keeping it off. And I wanted to know why. I didn't feel it was fair that women would hire me, help them lose weight, and they couldn't keep it off. I was like, there's something that I'm missing as a coach in order for them to be able to keep it off. There's something I don't know here. So I started, I have 12 fitness certifications. It was not in the fitness industry. It was not about diet. It was not about exercise. So I started going deeper. I started learning about quantum physics and how the body, the emotions of the body. And then what it to a light bulb went off when I discovered that the body gets conditioned to your trauma, whatever whoever you think you are, how you do your life. It's not just how your personality, but your body is actually the cells are actually conscious, and they actually vibrate at the emotional frequency that you have every single day. And that keeps you doing the same patterns over and over again. So my clients, women who mostly struggle with their weight most of their life, it's not that they can't lose weight and keep it off. It's that their body and themselves, they're emotionally conditioned to the feeling of struggling with their weight. That frequency in their body of struggling with their weight feels normal. So what happens is they lose the weight. It doesn't feel normal to them. They actually don't know what it feels like in their body to live in a body that they love. So they will sabotage, unconsciously sabotage, because the body will actually want to stay with what it knows. And the frequency of "I don't like my body" is so strong that they'll sabotage whatever weight loss goals or whatever weight loss they've done. So that makes
Or are you
sense?
saying, is homeostasis then like the baseline that we're talking
Absolutely.
about here? Okay. That really makes a lot of sense. And then I want to go back to one thing you just said, because it's fascinating and it's quantum and it's from India originally. Are you saying that each cell has its own intelligence?
Yeah, yes,
Yeah.
the cells are intelligent. Yeah.
In the new medical research, there are researchers that are going in that direction now. Now, centuries ago, the Indians told us about this in their Ayurvedic teachings. So, yeah, when I took theories of personality, post grad, when I took that course, this is where I learned about this. I thought they've known about this for centuries, and we're just finding out. It's amazing.
Yeah, I was blown away. I was like, when the light bulb went on, I was like, this is what I've been missing for so long. And this is why the book won four awards, because, and it was a bestseller on Amazon. It was just like, I was like, oh, it was such a relief for me, for being a fitness trainer, to finally understand what the problem was. 'Cause I knew these women wanted to lose weight. I knew they wanted to something different, and but they weren't keeping it off. So what happens is when this happens, this is really strange too, is because the frequency of your being when you're in the fetus, when you're being born, or being created in your mother's womb, that frequency of the parents, that's what starts the it's the lineage of the ancestral line starts it, that frequency of that child being created. Then when you're born, and I do feel and believe, because I know from my own research, we do not understand this world. This empty space that's around me is not empty. It's a frequency field that we walk through every single day. But what happens with the baby being born, it first starts with the lineage of, first starts with the parents, but also the lineage about 5 years back with the ancestors of both the parents. It's a frequency that the baby's born with. And I also believe that each one of us has a higher self, and we chose what we wanted to do when we came here. That's why it's like certain people love art and certain people love mechanics and different things like that. But then what happens as the baby starts to grow, there's trauma that happens, with relationships. Being in a relationship is part of the human experience. That trauma then creates the personality, as well as the love, as well as anything that's happening that's loving as well, that also creates the personality. But it has to be something that's strong. It's like being embarrassed when you first go into kindergarten, and something happens and you get really embarrassed. That right there can be an emotional trauma that stays stuck in the body, and now that little kid is a shy person. So that creates that shyness. It's a frequency that then creates the thoughts that then create who that being, who that person, man or boy, or I'm sorry, girl or boy, then thinks they are.
Wow, that's amazing. When I was teaching psychology, and then later I started doing group intervention with prisoners and halfway houses trying to get probation, and a lot of them were drug dependent alcoholics, and I would teach them about, well, there are certain kinds of alcoholism like type 2, type 1 that are genetically endowed. They come to us this way. And then the environment really determines whether those genes get expressed in alcoholism. In other words, you have to drink. And we said, we don't know the cause, but we said, we know there's a link, there's a correlation between the male background genetically and the offspring. And I said, doesn't common sense tell you it's the female? So my students would used to ask me, well, what do you think it is? And I said, well, I'm kind of into the new age quantum physics. I called it that. It's not new age, it's science. And I said,
That's right.
I think it's frequency based on prior condition. Because there's something that has to explain. We understand how a female could transmit alcoholism, but like type 2 is male to male exclusively. And so it has to be frequency based and transmitted at the time of conception. It's
Correct.
fascinating
Absolutely.
stuff. It really is. And so you took these concepts and you started applying it to weight loss.
To weight loss into my clients. I took them on a retreat here on the, I live on the Big Island of Hawaii, and did a whole retreat with them. And I'll never forget one of my clients. She said, because I told her, I said, you're not somebody who struggles with their weight. And this one client got really mad at me, and she's like, Michelle, I've been struggling with my weight all my life. What do you mean I'm not somebody who struggles with their weight? And I said, you're somebody who is emotionally conditioned to the feeling of struggling with your weight. Your body is addicted for conditioned, addicted, same meaning, to the feeling of struggling with your weight. That's the issue right there. It's the emotional frequency that's stuck in the cells, that lives in the cells, that vibrates at the cells vibrate at that frequency. It can be measured. You can measure that frequency, and then that's the thoughts that are created then. So there's a three-way communication with your body, and it's the brain, your mind, I should say your mind, because your brain is in your mind, or actually those are two different things, and I can actually explain that later. But
Understand.
your body and your heart. Your heart was the first organ that was created in your mother's womb, the very first organ. It started beating before you were born. It has 20,000 neurites, which are very similar to neurons. Your heart can remember and it can learn. And so your heart, your mind, and your body, all three are in communication with each other. And this is how you actually run your life without realizing it. And what's really important about the heart, well, I'll stop there and give it back to you, Dave, and then I'll share a little bit more about the heart.
Yeah, it's interesting. The mind, the body, too. Just say this. I suspect that what you're talking about is the conscious states, the quantum conscious states where
Correct.
you really kind of traverse time and space. So you're in the quantum model and fifth dimension, time and space are at the same time. Not to get too technical. Is
Yeah.
that what you're talking about? The difference between mind and
Exactly.
body? Okay. And then the one thing I wanted to ask you about is when you have this resonance of the frequency, does it resonate at hertz or does it resonate? Well, like the Earth's resonance is E flat. We know that. Does it resonate like that or is it both? How do you describe that person's resonance?
You know, that's a good question. I'm actually not really sure about the exact one because I just know it's frequency and I know it can be measured in hertz. It can be measured in hertz.
Okay.
Around that. But yeah, that's a more scientific. When I found this out, I kind of it just blew my mind, and it just everything came together
How did you come upon this? I mean, for me, it was just reading and saying this makes sense. And my dad was involved with German scientists after World War II. He started in the late 50s and the early 60s. People call it paperclip. He didn't call it that. But frequency-based medicine was actually talked about with the Nazis. Now, he didn't go that way. They were looking at transportation systems, vertical lift and that kind of thing in different physics. But this discussion came up. And he said they were trying to use frequencies to mitigate certain illnesses, like Hitler had Parkinson's, and they were working on that with frequencies.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's Wendell Rife, the Rife machine
Rife
with
machine, yeah.
frequency. Yeah, that's a really great thing. I came upon it because, again, I tried every single fitness class to learn why my clients were still struggling. Why would they gain the weight back? What's going on? And I was a fitness by phone coach. I got all these certifications, and I was never coming. So I started taking human behavior in some quantum physics classes, and it was one of those classes that the light bulb went off when it was like, oh my gosh, trauma, emotional frequency is literally stuck in the body, and you can, it's like, so how do you do, how do you release that? It takes awareness of it. You have to, I tell people to become the observer, and then your
So
breath,
being like
because
a third party looking at yourself. Okay.
Wa and watch yourself, and it takes some time to do it because you have to literally watch your patterns in the what emotional frequency, what emotions do you have every day? What is your self-talk? Do you that you tell yourself every single day? I have my clients journal it out so that they get to really get to know yourself, and that is so key to finding peace with your body. To is one is to really get to know who you are without making yourself right or wrong or good or bad. And that's the other thing, because whatever trauma happened in your past that then created the stuckness that creates the conditioned pattern to stay struggling with your weight, it's becoming the observer of that and full acceptance that that happened to you without making it wrong. And that can be really challenging for some people, because nobody, we've all been through major trauma, but we don't know what each other's been through, but some things are really, really horrible. So actually, can you look at that experience as just an experience in this human life that you've had without making it right or wrong or good or bad, being equanimous to that experience and breathing into it and fully allowing it to be part of your journey? It's like, this is, I always, people are always saying, I always hear people say, I need to heal this about myself. I need to fix this about myself. What if there's nothing to fix? What if your human journey and your human experience is exactly what your higher self, your soul, whatever you want to call it, said, I'm going to go forth in this, at this time in history, be born to these two parents at this location on earth, at this particular time of year. And that's also very important, because that's also a frequency. The actual zodiacs in the sky, even in Genesis, the zodiacs are in the Bible, because God said he created the stars. He put messages in the heavens,
Yes.
and the messages are the zodiac, and it is a frequency, creates a frequency in the planet that also creates your personality. So if you can actually look at your life equanimously as fully accepting is really important. Not making it right, but not making it wrong is really key too.
One of the things I've been looking at, and I'm thinking about incorporating some of this into my new show that I'm doing on TV at thecommonsenseshow.tv. It's called Hips Hiding in Plain Sight. It's near-death experience. And one of the things I've been reading or I've been seeing on visual accounts, people that die, often they'll go and they'll see Jesus, have a religious experience. They're greeted by loved ones. They go through the tunnel of the light and all the traditional things. But what's really interesting is a lot of these people talk about the preordainment of the soul. In other words, they come here to be tested, to have a journey, to learn things, to be put in a life condition and have things happen along the way, because they're choosing that so they can grow to be a higher level being back where their home is. This is not their home. Earth is not their home. And I've looked at this enough to say I think there's something to it. And even Saint Augustine in his early writings talked about the preordainment of the soul, that the soul exists before it comes into the body, and it certainly exists after your body is gone. Is that the kind of thing that you're leaning towards?
Yeah,
Okay.
absolutely. Because there's something, it's like I said, I always tell people, this is not what we think it is. This world is not what we've been told. And I feel this is a game. I feel this is some type of game that we came to play. And our job, what we call here in Hawaii, we call it our kuleana, what is ours to do, is to actually really start to understand our own journey and how emotional expansion comes from understanding yourself and comes from forgiveness of yourself first and then forgiveness of others. It's an emotional expansion when you can actually look at something that used to trigger you and used to give you a reaction, and you don't react to it anymore. If you get into an experience where you're always reacting, that right there is an emotional conditioned trauma. So if
Yes.
you're reacting to something over and over again, that is a trauma that is keeping you stuck in the same patterns with that individual. If you can look at that without making it right or wrong or good or bad, and the easiest and quickest way to do it is using your breath, because we always shallow breathe in stress, always shallow breathe, and we're always shallow breathing. We breathe into that area. It's the area of the trauma, we can do a practice run here. What happens is that will emotionally expand you. You'll have a different experience with that person. And that's why we came here. It's in this, in my view, in my belief, and in my research, it's about emotional expansion toward back to love, back to the infinite creator that created all of us, which is, in my view, love, which is just a frequency. It's just a frequency. You can call it whatever you want, but it's a very high-powered frequency. And this is why the fear frequency, they want to keep people in fear, because it's a low frequency, and when they are not in a high frequency, they're easily controlled, and that's a whole another ball of wax we don't need to talk about. But when you are in love, that frequency of love and peace, you manifest things so much more quickly in your life, and your life serendipity, synchronicities happen so much more easily. So
I'm going to draw
it's a
upon
powerful place
my
to be.
experience as a therapist for a second. There's a therapeutic technique, probably the most popular one that's used. It's called cognitive behavioral therapy. And one of the strategies is to get the person to separate from themselves and not necessarily in a meditative state. And I wanted to ask you about that too. But they look at their behavior and their choices as a result of the challenges that they're facing. And saying, what could you do different? And they do a third party analysis with the person in therapy. It's very, very common. And it's really interesting that you'd bring this up because this is what you put me in the mind of. The thinking is, if you're doing a third party analysis, okay, you're not tied into your own trauma at the moment, the negative frequencies. And if you can separate and look at yourself, your mindset changes. And in our discussion here, that would be the frequencies. Is this kind of close to what you have people do? Okay.
Yes, and that first, like that's why I have them journal. Anything that you negative that you say to yourself, write it down, and don't make it right or wrong or good or bad. Just notice it. It's just being the observer of yourself for about a week or two, and then we do the observer part. But then we get into the because it's kinesthetic. It's in your body, so you have to use your body in order to untangle the trauma. It's actually stuck in a frequency. Like if you were to have be able to look at your body, you could see different traumas
Sure.
in different areas of your body. Normally they're in your sacrum, they're in your belly, they're in the sexual organs in that area. That's usually where the trauma is for most of us.
Interesting because a lot of us talk about getting stuck in repetitive behavior patterns because they're familiar. What you're saying is you're just giving it an identity with frequency. But it's the same thing that psychologists talk about. It's just defining it a little differently. I suspect we're going to end up with quantum psychology at some point in time. I've said that. My colleagues didn't like that too much because it was about 20 years ago, way ahead of the time. But I said, we're going to be doing frequency-based interventions before long. And they go, well, I said, what do you think it is when you tell your client to handle your stress? Stay down, sit down, breathe deeply, close your eyes, relax, progressively relax. And you even make tapes for them. I said, you're changing the brain's frequency. And there
That's
you
right.
change the autonomic nervous system. So you're really ahead of your time. Is anybody else doing what you're doing specifically with this and weight loss?
I do know some trainers are doing meditations. I don't know. I don't think they teach it the way I do, but I
First
do know,
cousin.
and meditation does work. What I love about what I teach is full acceptance, because when you can look at your everything that's ever happened in your life as just a part of your human experiencing without making it wrong, that's freedom. That's absolute freedom
Amen.
from the trauma that has been running your life. Because if you don't fully accept it as part of your life, it's like that people think that the healing or the fixing, I need to fix this about myself, I need to heal this, that trauma is going to go away then. That trauma is never going to go away because you experienced it. So that's why if you fully embrace that that happened with your in using your breath, because the feeling is going to come up, and it's going to a lot of people, there's a lot of fear. People sometimes don't want to look at the trauma, don't want to feel the trauma. But if you actually embrace it with your breath and through your heart. And as like I have them literally imagine if that trauma was a tree in your body, where would the roots be? Where's the beginning of the trauma? And that's why it's usually on in the belly or lower. So I have them put one hand on that area and then one hand on your heart, because your heart is connected to some type of intelligent frequency that absolutely loves us unconditionally. You can call it God or whatever, but it is connected to your intuition. It is connected to an intelligence, because your intuition comes from your heart connecting. Then it connects to your brain and gives you thoughts that way, and you get inspired that way. So it's one hand on the trauma, one hand on your heart to connect And then breathing is as big deep breaths as you could possibly do down into that area. And it completely shifts it. It completely dissolves the trauma. And it's something that gives you freedom.
Somebody who's listening to us right now is trying to do this, so let's make sure they're doing it right. So when they breathe in, is it just a, or is it rapid, or how do you do this?
It's a bit, yeah, slow. It's a big, deep breath, but you're going all the way down into the trauma. And you have to actually get into that feeling. So it's like I take people through kind of a journey. We close the eyes. We go back to when that first happened, when it was, and I have them breathe into that frequency, the feeling as they're feeling it. And it usually what happens is they won't breathe as deep at first because it's hard. It's like they don't want to feel that. But then the more deeper they breathe, the more it's going to get into that trauma, and then it'll start to dissolve. And I did this with a woman who was struggling with Lahaina. She actually contacted me, and the Lahaina fire, the Maui fire, because I wrote the other book I wrote was Great
Sure.
Maui Land Grab. But she said every single time that she thought about Lahaina, she would cry. And she survived the fire. She was there. She survived the fire. And so I had to do this practice. And she did the practice, and I said, "How do you feel?" And she said, "Michelle, I've been in therapy for 6 months, and this worked better than the therapy that I've been doing for 6 months." And it was like 3 minutes of working
I'm
with
going to
her.
make a
So.
guess here. They were treating her very obviously for PTSD. But then, too, they were probably medicating her, which does not allow her to process and come to grips with the problem. See, I'm one of those people, medication's the last thing we should do. So I'm not at the popular list with some most psychiatrists because that's how they make their money. Now, I'm not trying to say all psychiatrists are this way, but they're trained. Hey, if you come and see me, your psychologist has struck out. So now I got to medicate you. But when you medicate someone, you really keep them from feeling the full expanse of the emotional trauma they went through, and they don't get a chance to deal with it or just suppressing the symptoms.
Correct. Absolutely. And then it never heal. It never heals. It never integrates. And that's what you want. You want the trauma to integrate into your body, into who you are as a being. And I just got chills everywhere. And chills, by the way, you guys, when you get goosebumps, that is actually it's a signal from your body, for actually your body and the intelligence that is in the frequency around is aligned. So when you have goosebumps or something, and I'm getting them again. It's a frequency. Your body's cells are aligning with the frequency of the field of infinite intelligence, and it's saying yes. So that's what medication does. It doesn't allow the integration of the trauma, and you want to integrate it in order to finally have the peace and the freedom from that trauma. Because when you have freedom from that trauma, you are a different person making different choices, having different relationships and experiences. If you don't, then you're going to keep repeating the patterns over and over again.
There's a little bit of the from the biblical phrase, let go and let God, let not your heart be troubled, let go and let God. And there's I do believe people should be active participants in their own recovery, but there is wisdom, I think, in trusting in the divine outcome. And this is what you're talking about. And you think about, okay, so if you pray to your creator, if you pray to God, pray to Jesus. Okay, you are in a meditative state, low vibration. Does this open channels to, let's say, divine connections? And I'll use a quantum term, extra dimensional aspects of it is, because I think prayer is extra dimensional. I think absolutely it is. I know when we're psychic, there's been a lot of research on this, and they think that when someone has a psychic experience, that their consciousness actually goes into the fifth dimension where time and space stand still and everything happens at the same time, and you pluck out what's relevant to you. And this is how people will know something's gone. Like a friend hasn't talked to you in 20 years, you're thinking about them, and the phone rings like that. I mean, that kind of experience is what I'm talking about. In fact, actually, Princeton studied various aspects of this for 30 years. It was called the Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research. And I think that what you're talking about here is what quieting the mind and the heart and getting into the right vibration where divine intervention can take place.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I do want to say we have not been told the truth about religion as well, because religion, we don't need to get into that. But
Well, I'll
when
say
I
one thing. I think there's some. I hear what you're saying, and I'll listen to the Bible before I'll listen to a pastor. And I'm not putting all pastors down, but I'll say this. When Jesus could turn water into wine, you can walk on water, you can turn stone into bread. You're talking about the powers of the mind that are not of these three dimensions that we live in.
Absolutely. And he changed the frequency.
There
That's
you
what he
go.
did.
That's
He
my
changed the
point.
frequency of the thing.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he said, you will do these things and greater.
That's right.
So we have that within us. Absolutely. So, because when I do prayer and I pray all the time, every on my podcast that I do is Blossom Inner Wellness, INNER, Blossom Inner Wellness. And it's at the end of every single one, I always do a prayer because I call in what it is that we want, which is freedom, harmony, and peace back on the planet. And so, but when I pray, and I call it Great Spirit because it's a frequency. A Great Spirit to me is the frequency field, the intelligence that is around us, that's beating our hearts, breathing our bodies, moving the sun across the sky, running the tides in the ocean. There is an intelligence, and it's around us all the time. But when we pray to something that's outside of us, that we're like begging, like people are begging, please let this happen, please, please, please. Instead of that, call it in as if it's already happened and get gratitude for the frequency field of how it would feel if it's already happened. Because I say, thank you so much for the peace and the harmony and the freedom that we have here. I know that those who do not value human life are now unable to harm anybody else. We know we have legions of angels guiding us, and so it is. I know that it is done, Great Spirit, through you. I know it is done, and so it is. And that's the frequency. It's getting in, and that's what Jesus did. He said, I think there was, I can't remember what man came to him, and he said, I have somebody who's died, and I know that all you have to do, Jesus, is say the word, and he will. You don't have to come to my house. You just say the word, and I'm getting chills again. You just say the word, and I know he's going to be fine. And Jesus said, I'm going to cry. By your faith, you are free. By your faith, it has happened. And that's what we have. That's the power we all have.
Yeah, but we are taught to tune that out.
Then that's by design. That is absolutely by design, because these criminals, and I think they're satanic demons, they run everything. They run everything. They have enslaved us through the 14th Amendment, and it's actually brilliant what they've done. When I research it and look at it, I'm like, wow, it is absolutely amazing how they have tricked us and enslaved the human race, really. But we can get out of it. We just have to choose to. This is why everything is choice. Everything is choice. And
Yeah,
so, and
I
it takes
agree.
courage. It takes courage to make choices that go against the mainstream.
I've been talking about an offshoot of what you just mentioned for several years now, and now it's starting to get acceptance among pastors. In fact, I did a conference two years in a row with Paul Begley. He invited me, and I talked about this topic, and it's Genesis 6, verse 4. And the verse says, "And they were there afterwards." Well, who's they? Well, the they is the scripture before the fallen angels, the term for the fallen angels. And it says, "And they were there afterwards," which means their DNA survived the flood. And today, I believe that what we look at, we're in a spiritual battle. It's not just a physical or political battle, it's a spiritual battle. And it's the descendants of the intermarriage between earthly women and the fallen angels and that DNA, which is inherently evil because it comes from Satan, because the fallen angels cast to earth after they rebelled against God. And then there's humans, God's prized creation. And this is something that my audience has heard me talk about this. I really believe this at the root is what we are dealing with. And here's what's interesting too. After World War II, my dad told me this. He said, "We knew a lot about quantum physics," and he actually taught advanced physics before he left the Navy. And he was very aware of Tesla's work. And the FBI seized all his work. It was on the quantum that they seized and have not released. And my dad said they made a decision that we would teach three-dimensional Newtonian physics to our students, but we'd keep the quantum for ourselves and put it in our agencies for advanced research and weaponry and mind control and things like this. And now the genie's kind of out of the bottle with people like Michio Kaku, who's written about 26 dimensions, and he's written a book on it called Superstring Theory. The genie's out of the bottle now, but does this resonate with you at all in terms of the good versus
100%.
a good versus evil part?
Yeah, 100%. I'm actually decoding the Bible. I have a Bible called the Companion Bible, and it goes with the English version, and then on the left pa or right page is the Hebrew definitions. So you can actually really see. It's called the Companion Bible. It's fantastic. So I've just decoded chapters 1 through 3, and again, you can find that at Blossom Inner Wellness. YouTube and take a look at those. But you're right. And in fact, what happens is in Genesis, the first chapter, it talks about God. And in the Hebrew on the right-hand side, it says God equals Elohim, plural. That's what it says, plural. And so, and then also, when he, and I think that God created, I think what happened was, it says, let us create man in our image. So God created the sun and all the earth and da 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 da. And then it's the only chap, only sentence in that first chapter, let us create man in our image. And I think that, and it says, then, he created he, they, and she, them, or something like that. I think in when I read that, I think that the Neanderthals were here, and I think they messed with the DNA, and then I think that God created Adam, because that's the first chapter. It talks about he created he them. So I think they messed with the DNA, and then in the second chapter he says, and God molded man out of the earth. So I think there's two. I think something's going on that we even more than we know. That's why I always
I
say
do.
we do not understand.
And there's even a historical, and I won't go down this path very far, but our mutual friend, Sarah Westall, and I, Sarah and I talk all the time. And we've talked about Lemuria and Atlantis and the alleged war. Now, this is in the Indian legends, it's in the Chinese folklore, it's in the Hopi folklore. And I know I've talked to a couple of Hopi elders about this. It's all the same. Two advanced civilizations, nuclear war, tectonic plate shifted. The civilization was destroyed, and man had to start over. And the Hopis call us today the fifth world and the last world. And that last comment would fit within, the second coming of Jesus, the last world. And it's fascinating stuff. But at the heart of a lot of it, and I'll give you another application here. I've done a thing on the Egyptians and the pyramids and so forth, and the Egyptians inherited them, and they did, made little things that put up their knickknacks, but they couldn't have done what they did. But you know what the prevailing belief is today, since we can't build a pyramid even close to Giza, is that they had to use sound frequency vibrations to move those massive stones. And this is the best explanation I have ever seen, and I think that's what it was.
Me
And I
too.
think we look at that, the ancients knew what we're talking about with the frequencies, and we're now just discovering it. But there are people trying to keep it from us, and I suspect those people are from the bad DNA that survived the flood.
Absolutely. 100%. I think that is absolutely how the pyramids were built, is by frequency, because that's the only way they could be that precise. And also, the capstone is missing. I think the capstone was some type of metal, might have been gold or something. And I think that the pyramids gave off free energy, gave off energy, because they're all around the world. And this is a frequency field that we can tap into. And I think that that free energy was why the pyramids were created. I don't think there's no way those were tombs. And now that they're finding different things underneath the pyramids that show cylindrical, for lack of a better word, an apparatus thing that's underneath the pyramids that they've been showing. I don't know if you've seen
I
that
call it
video or
an
not.
advanced generator.
Yeah,
I think it's
exactly.
power based. And when you look at the fascination of the pyramids with the constellation Orion, and all pyramids across the planet 17,500 years ago pointed to Orion. And we know that because we have a computer program called Precession that can take you back in time and show you that. And I think if you really want to know my theory, and it's only a theory, It was also a Stargate.
Well, because again, we do not understand this planet at all. We have pyramids here too on Big Island. We have a pyramid down in South Kona. Few, I know a couple people that have been to it. I have not been to it. I've seen it from really, really far away. And then I do know a person that I'm going to be interviewing. He actually did a video, and I'll get you in touch with him. A
I'd love
documentary
that.
on the pyramids here on the islands, on all the islands, because they're here. So it's
Well,
really
let's take the
fascinating.
frequency concept and go back to the work that you like to do.
Yeah.
How do you use the frequencies now to help people with their weight loss journey? I'd imagine you have to transform their thinking, which is changing their frequency. Is that where it starts?
Absolutely. Well, it starts by acknowledgement. It's full acknowledgement of their journey first, and then I do we it's a journey. It is a total journey. It's just like our own human journey that we're here experiencing right now. But again, it's the very first thing you've got to do is you have to understand who you are. How do you run your life? I had a client who he had this. So after dinner, he would then go into the kitchen. And after he ate dinner with his family, he would then go into the kitchen and make himself a huge plate of nachos and then go and sit in front of the television. So he'd literally have two dinners. So when we started working together, I told him, I said, what's going to happen is your body is going to, you won't even notice you're doing this. Your body will literally get up and you could be thinking about something else and start to make yourself the nachos without you realizing it until you stop it. Because this is how you know how to drive a car. This is how you know how to tie your shoes.
Absolutely.
Because your body learns it. This is because your cells are conscious. Your body learns how to drive the car, how to tie your shoes, how to do you. And then your mind can check out. Until your body learns how to do it, your mind is engaged. But once your body knows how to do you, your brain can check out. This is why I tell ladies who the first thing normally when I work with women who struggle with their weight, the first thing that they do in the morning is get on the scale. And they actually have an anxiety feeling right before that scale, because that scale is going to tell them what kind of day they're going to have, how they're going to feel about themselves. And I tell them, I said, I want you to put the scale away. I want you to really, I'd love for you to throw it out. And a lot of times that freaks them out because they don't know who they would be if they didn't get on the scale every single morning. And that's the key. If you don't know who you would be doing a certain behavior, that's exactly what you need to do, what you need to try on. And so that's what we do is explore different ways of being. And it's gonna feel uncomfortable. And when it feels uncomfortable, that's the best clue that you're on the right track. So you're gonna feel different. It's going to feel different. And that's exactly what you want because you want a different experience.
You're
So we start
talking
there.
about brain entrainment too, and you've got to undo these automatic behaviors. And there's science behind what you're saying, and I want the audience to hear this. I'll be very brief with this. I learned this when I learned the techniques of guided imagery for athletes, which is a fancy term for hypnosis. And you have two brain systems that operate simultaneously. You have the straight line system, is what we're paying attention to right now, interacting and talking. And then you have the reticular activating system, or called the RAS, and that's your automatic behaviors. So you're driving along, rocking out to the song, and you go through a stop sign. You go, "Hey, did I stop for that stop sign?" Well, you did, and your companion says you did, but you weren't even aware of it because it was an automatic behavior. And what you're saying, I think, is that this overeating, like the gentleman with the nachos, becomes an RAS controlled automatic behavior that you got to call
Absolutely.
attention to get it to change.
Yep, 100%. And the first thing is acknowledgement. You have to see your patterns. If you don't see them, you won't know where they're there. So that's why it's journaling and really exploring who you are without making yourself wrong. And here's the other thing,
Sure. We
and
won't judge
again,
you.
mostly I work with women, is that the powers that be love it when especially women don't like their body. They don't have low self-esteem or low body image. They love that because then women are going to spend $1 bajillion to try to get something outside of themselves so that they feel good about themselves. And that's why the beauty industry is a $1 trillion industry and also the weight loss industry. But when you actually start to give yourself compassion, the Buddha says you more than anyone in the entire universe deserve your love and compassion. And you, that's one of the things that we do is heart-based, is putting the hands on the heart and sending the body compassion, because this body has survived your childhood and has gotten you to this place that you're at right now. And it has gone through so much trauma. So the first thing, one of the first things, along with many other things, but one of the first practices is also getting into a feeling of compassion. This is different than feeling sorry for yourself. Those are two different things.
Empathy versus sympathy, right?
Empathy. Thank
Yeah.
you. Yes, empathy. Yeah. And that frequency, when you really have it for yourself, the empathy, oh my gosh, it just frees you. Because it's like, oh my gosh, I don't have to put myself down anymore. I don't have to make myself wrong for this. You know, there's a reason why your higher self, your soul, decided to come to this planet at this time and go through this journey called integration back into love, back into the oneness that you are. Because when you do that again, you're emotionally expanding, and it completely changed. Not, it changes not only your life, every single person you connect with. Every single person. It could even be the grocery clerk at the store that sees you and feels your frequency is different, is more loving and kind, not just to yourself, but to others. It'll change. This is what changes the world. This is what helps to change the world. By you loving yourself, living in a body that you love, that frequency will change your life, your families, your friends, and those people that come into contact with you. And
Yeah, the
it's exactly
greatest
what we need to do.
illusion is isolation. There's an interconnectivity with everything. And the Bible talks about this too, that love conquers all kind of thing. But you know what's really interesting about that too is that we are not taught this. We're taught you need to have adversaries and so forth, and that we need to be aggressive. And it's so counterproductive to what we want to be. But you really captured it here, the interconnected effect. You know, let me give you one science experiment. It's a quantum experiment. Take a petri dish, you got cells clumped and connected together, separate them, and then separate the cells and put them on opposite ends of the planet. And if you electrify one dish, the other dish acts like it's electrified too, and the petri cells react the same way. In fact, they've even done this with rabbits. This is a terrible experiment, but since they did it, I'll say it. You know, you have a mother rabbit, she gives birth, they take the infant rabbits away, and then on an unpredictable time scale, they euthanize the rabbit, and the mother has an extreme autonomic nervous response. And it's unique to that time. And see, we are all connected at this quantum level, and we have the experiments that explain it.
Absolutely. And the geometric shape, and I'll just show you my tattoo, is the flower of life. I put this on here on my body because this is the geometric shape that connects everybody. This is the so you have 50 to 100 trillion cells in your body. Every single cell has trillions of atoms. In every single atom, there are numerous protons, depending on what it is. Then in every single proton, if you go down to, I mean, so small is it's on that's called the Planck scale. And the Planck is actually the flower of life repeated over and over again. It's actually, that's the geometric shape of the Planck. And what happens is that geometric shape, the flower of life, is everywhere. It's even in this empty space. There's those circles that overlap. There's seven circles that overlap each other. They're everywhere. That's how we're connected. This is what Nassim Harriman, the physicist, I believe he used to, I was told he was here on the Big Island, but I know he was on Kauai. He found this. This is the God particle. He found that, and I believe Einstein at one point was trying to find this, but Nassim Harriman found this, and it's the flower of life, is the geometric shape of the God particle, which is connects everybody. That's why that happens, because that being feels it, but then it goes through the flower of life, the geometric shape, because it's everything's connected. So I have a twin sister. We've had really strange experiences that connect us. So and we
Petri
can actually
dish.
have
It's your petri
conversations
dish,
without
yeah.
words. Yeah, exactly. Right,
That's.
exactly.
But the twin stories are so they're ubiquitous, they're everywhere. You hear them all the time. It's absolutely fantastic. This is so fascinating. I wanted to ask you though too, okay, because for people to really find about the weight loss, you're going to need to follow your work, and we'll get to that in just a second. But what is the key step in all this when people say, I need to get control of this? And the case that you're working with, it's weight loss, but I think it's anything.
It's anything.
So
Relationships, money, all of
exactly.
it.
What's the key step?
Full acceptance of your journey. Full acceptance without making it wrong. That's what it comes down to. It's that journey of who would you be if you could fully accept your entire life with all your relationships without making it right or wrong or good or bad. This does not mean you let people step all over you. This means that there is a, and there's a Ho'oponopono is a ancient Hawaiian prayer practice that is at the end of my book, because Ho'oponopono says it all. Ho'oponopono is, I love you, please forgive me, thank you, and I'm sorry. And the first time I learned this, I was like, I got really annoyed, because I'm like, wait a minute, I'm supposed to say this in a relationship with somebody? I love you, please forgive me, I'm sorry, thank you. But I didn't understand it. And what it is it says, thank you so much for the experience, and this is for something that's not pleasant, not a pleasant experience. And I'll share with you a really amazing story with that used this work. Thank you for this. Like, if I'm in a relationship with a man who doesn't treat me kindly, I would, for me, Ho'oponopono would be, thank you so much for this experience. You're showing me that there's something inside of me that I have not integrated back into love, full acceptance of myself and love. You're showing me this. There's something inside of me that I have not fully integrated. Thank you for that. I'm sorry that I have not fully integrated this part of me, this trauma, so that we could actually have, or I could actually be in a relationship with somebody that treats me, adores me. Thank you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me that I have not noticed this emotional trauma is still stuck in my body, and I'm living experiences that are trying to show me this emotional trauma that needs to be integrated back into love. And I love you because I know we are one, and you're on your own journey with your own trauma. And you being that way to me shows me that there's also something inside of you that needs to be integrated back into the light and love of the oneness that we all are. So
Unconditional
that's
love, isn't
Ho'oponopono, unconditional love. So there's a story
it?
with a man, Dr. Liam, I think his name is. Howard Liam, I think. Anyway, it's in my book. And he went to a mental institution here on Big Island, and he actually didn't see one patient. What he did was he used Ho'oponopono, that free, and he got every single file of each patient. And he basically did Ho'oponopono. Thank you so much for showing me that there's something inside of me that's not integrated back into love. And that's why I'm experiencing you, this file, as somebody that's not whole and complete. I'm sorry that I've not integrated that. He does a Ho'oponopono with every single file. Every single person got better. And they had to close the mental institution. They closed it because there were no more patients, because
Oh,
he did this frequency.
I love it.
This work.
Oh
Yeah.
my gosh,
So,
that's fantastic. We're going to have to hold it here because we got less than a minute left.
okay.
So let's direct people where they can get help in critical issues like weight
Yeah.
loss, how people can find.
So you can get the book at enddietinghell.com, enddietinghell.com. My website is Blossom Inner Wellness, Blossom Inner Wellness. And you can also find me on YouTube and Rumble at Blossom Inner Wellness, where I share a lot of tips like this, as well as decoding the Bible and other things.
That's awesome. Hey, I want you to send me what you just ran through so I
Sure.
can put it in the taglines for when I go to social media with this.
Oh, yeah, and put Dave in the coupon code. When you go to enddietinghell.com, put Dave in the coupon code. You'll get 10% off.
That's awesome. This has been fascinating. You could tell this is one of my favorite topics. I mean, I have
Mine
to do the
too.
geopolitical because I care about the kids we're leaving behind. I've got to fight that battle. But this is absolutely my favorite topic to cover. Because it touches so much of our being, including our divine soul. And this has been fascinating. I want to thank you so much for sharing. I don't get to have these discussions on air very often, so I'm really appreciative. And I've got to have you back because I got to get my fix. Okay. So,
Mahalo, Dave. Thank you so much for having me.
yes,
I
it's
really
been
appreciate you.
wonderful having you, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Aloha.
Bye-bye.